Well, good morning. Here we are, Psalm 100. We have made it. We're already in the eighth week of our Psalm series, and you and I, we've ridden the roller coaster of the Psalms. Some are laments, some are thanksgiving, some are praise, and today we have a Psalm of joy. We have a Psalm that actually is what the Bible is usually open to here in Haslow Chapel, if you've ever noticed. My friend Philip has a good angle of it. Is it because it's in the middle, or is it because it's Psalm 100? Who's to say? Both work. It makes it beautiful, and it's a psalm of joy. You just heard it. It's a psalm of praise and joy. It's the way we're going to start once more. Would you pray with me first before we get started? God, I lift up every person here gathered in person and online. Thank you. Thank you for a worshiping body. Thank you for a place to worship freely and safely and with joy. Here at St. Andrew, this is for this family that worships together. We see you. We feel your presence near. God, help us to be better disciples of your word tomorrow than we were today. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Psalm 100. Let's hear it again. You can't hear it too many times, and it will set the tone for our whole morning. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that it is the Lord who is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As a preacher, when you look for the scripture of the week and it's something like Psalm 100, there are a million ways that we could bring this word to you today because there's so many places of joy in this world. Sometimes it's easier to see the places that aren't, but for me, I've been looking for joy. I've been looking a lot recently. I think a lot of us end up realizing we can take all the joy we can get. So you take it in small format, in big miracles, I'll take anything really at this point. And so I've been having to rewire my eyes in the last few months and just starting to look and look really hard. And I thought it would be difficult, but as it turns out, did you hear the psalm written about our God? It's actually not hard at all once you just train your eyes. It's like anything, like an athlete. When you train for the mission ahead, well, you start seeing things all over. Or you might know it as like the red car phenomena, right? You're going to buy a red car, and so you see red cars, or you see it all over the place, the thing that you're currently going through. For Psalm 100 today, I thought, okay, Lord, where are you calling us to go? Because scripture is so much bigger than a psalm. This is the Psalter. This is Jesus' prayer book. These are the hymns that were sung. They are prayers that were recited, handed down in the family tree. But there's so much more that's happening in God's narrative outside of just the psalms that anchor the center of our Bible. And where I want to go with you today is to the beginning and to the end, or just close to both. You see, in the near beginning, there's a book called Exodus. And I promise this is relevant to Psalm 100, because when you really look through Psalm 100, you see not only is it a song of praise or of thanksgiving, but the reason that the psalmist is praising is because he says, "Oh, God, for you have let me into your presence." And so often I think we're asking God for a thing on our list or a result from a test or something really tangible, and that is fair game. God wants to hear your desires. But that's not the only way that God shows up. It's really, the real gift is actually God's presence. The real gift that can't be replicated by one of us is God saying, "I'm right here. I'm right here, and you can't shake me even if you tried." Right? The psalmist later says, "Whether I go to the highest mountain or to the deepest valley, for you are there with me. Where can I go that the Lord is not?" And the rhetorical answer is nowhere. God is everywhere. God is ready to make his presence your gift. And when I was thinking about, as a Bible teacher, I'm always like, okay, where in scripture has this also shown up? And where has it been so important for God's people? back then and today. And I just kept coming back to Exodus. I kept coming back to these people who are wandering throughout the desert for 40 years. And they're wondering what should have taken them 11 days as the crow flies. It takes them 40 years. And when they finally arrive and they're finally delivered right from their slavery, when they're finally free and they make it to the other side of this whole thing, God shows up in a really special way. As my husband and I have led different Israel trips and gone with St. Andrew, one place we've never gone is Mount Sinai. It's one place that it's just remote enough, it's too far, it's not really on the regular route, but it's Mount Sinai, and it is the mountain of the Old Testament, if you will. At Mount Sinai in Exodus, in the early chapters, Moses walks by and sees a shrub on fire. Do you remember that? And it's God, it's the presence of God, and God is so holy and so mysterious that Moses says, can I see your face? What should I call you? Who are you? Right? And there's this introduction, if you will, between God and Moses, reflecting God and his people. As the storyline goes on, we come back to that very mountain. Exodus 19 and 34 is where we're going to be today for just a minute, because I want you to hear the gift of God's presence. While Psalm 100 is a song, it's joyful, and it's describing, like, thank you, Lord, that I can enter your gates in praise and thanksgiving. If you take a step back from the literal gates for a second, if you take a step back and you say, well, how has God shown up before? As a preacher friend of mine says, sometimes our memory is the best medicine. And that is true for the Israelites. Sometimes their memory of where God has shown up can be the best comfort for where you're going. God shows up very specifically, Exodus 19, and he calls his people to this mountain. And you see, until this point, God has led, let's call it from afar, in a further stance. We haven't really seen much since the bush that's been on fire. There has been like a pillar of cloud, and there's been a pillar of fire that has been leading the Israelites. But now something special happens, and it happens on this very special and important place called Mount Sinai. Exodus 19. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord, he called him from the mountain, and he said, this is what you are to say to the people, the descendants of Jacob, what you are to tell the people called Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. Now, if only you would obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me. You will be actually a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words you're supposed to say to the Israelites. Did you hear in Psalm 100? It said what? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us, and we are his. The whole earth. It sounds like that part in Paul where it says, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You see, the whole earth eventually will ring out in this song, and blessed are those who sing now. Don't wait. Sing now. Come now. And God's presence up on Mount Sinai, it's this mysterious thing where he basically has the people at the foot of the mountain and he calls up Moses. And if you're familiar at all with this in more of a children's story, you know something really special happens to Moses when he goes up. Back and forth he goes. It's like his daily commute, if you will, for a little bit. He is the one who has been decided that will talk to God on the Israelites' behalf. And as he goes up on the mountain, he has to give a report for what the people are doing. And every time he goes up, God says, these people, Moses, what are they doing? I don't see any worship happening. I don't see any covenant keeping going on down there, right? They get busy. They start making a golden calf. They start worshiping other idols. And so Moses keeps going back and forth, the great advocate, if you will, of them. And Moses comes up the mountain after time and time again, and he receives two stone tablets. We all maybe learned those if you went to Sunday school, called what? The Ten Commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments. And Moses receives them, and as he takes them down, something changes. Because he's been in the presence of God, it's not like hanging out down below, not in this way. He has gone up to Mount Sinai, and he has been transformed. Utterly transformed, made new, so different than what he once was. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and he comes home, and it says this, Exodus 34:27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for these are the words I've made in the covenant. And so Moses stayed there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, and those became the Ten Commandments. Verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai holding the two tablets of the covenant, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, they saw his face was radiant. They were afraid to even come near him, but Moses called to them. And so Aaron and the leaders of the community came to them. And afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them the commands that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with the Lord, he removed the veil. When he came out and he told the Israelites what had been commanded, they all were bewildered that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back on his face and go back and speak with the Lord, and back and forth and back and forth. And what does that tell you about being in the presence of God? The one first story we really get of anyone in the Old Testament who has gone up to be with God and God's dwelling place, not a temple. The tabernacle is yet to come. Right now, it's just this mountain. It's just part of the landscape. But this landscape has been a designated spot where God dwells. And what do we realize about going to be where God dwells? Moses' face like radiates. I always joke with people, it's like better than the Aveeno commercials, you know, or whatever skincare you want to imagine. Like Moses, you just, what does that say in scripture? Grown men like Aaron and the other leaders, they're shocked when they see Moses. They're like, what happened to him? You know, maybe other people are like, where can I get some of that? Like, wow, Moses, you're looking great. Moses comes down and he's so transformed. And he's so new because he has been in the presence of the Lord. Because even though he had to go and give a report and he had to go advocate for people who were sinful and broken and lost in their own spiral of idolizing other gods, he still goes up every time. And sometimes it reminds me that it's just the going. That's all we can do. Sometimes we can do more. Sometimes it's all we can do to just go. Can you imagine like a time when you've thought like, if God could just like really meet me right here. Like just meet me right here. I can't go anywhere else. This is as far as I can go, Lord. And I pray that you've experienced a little bit, if not a great amount, of what Moses had, which is that God says, yeah, I've been here. Like God is the great host, if you will. And so when Mount Sinai becomes a key place for the Israelite people, every time they're involved with Mount Sinai and they're involved in God's presence, transformation happens. That doesn't stay. It doesn't stay up there. It carries on. Time and time again throughout Scripture, other things, places, people, they start to become blessed with this special feeling of the presence of the Lord. Why do we have churches? Do you know? To gather together for the gift and the blessing of worshiping together. God's presence is here in a special way, but God's presence is in your house. God's presence is on your street. It's in your cubicle. It's at your desk. God's presence is on the airplane. God's presence is in hospitals. God's presence is in hallways. It's in parking lots. There is nowhere you can't go, the psalmist says, where the Lord is not. And yet, something about Mount Sinai in Exodus was special, just like something in Revelation 21 is special. Throughout the scriptures, of course, a big key part of this is the temple. It's the tabernacle. It's all of these things. But I sat at my desk thinking through this sermon. And once I worked through Exodus, I came back to Psalm 100, shout to the Lord, the whole earth. How will the earth shout to the Lord? How will you shout to the Lord? How will you whisper to the Lord? Maybe a whisper is a better start. How will you talk daily to the Lord? And then how will you get up the courage, maybe, even if it takes, if you're shy right now, that's okay, God can work with that. But then how will you get to the point where you say, Lord, there is nothing not good about you. There's nothing, for that is why Jesus, when he comes and he gathers his disciples and he gives them this tour, he gives them a prime tour of witnessing miracle after miracle after miracle. And it turns out that we no longer need just Mount Sinai. It turns out that God's presence is with us. And as it turns out, we have even more to hope for. The book of Revelation is complicated and it's long, and therefore a lot of people don't read it. But I'll tell you what's at the end of it. How's that? In the 21st chapter of Revelation, there's a really wonderful promise. And I was thinking about it. Because if you know anything about what my family is going through right now, we fly out tomorrow morning. We fly out to go cheer on my husband for his surgery on Wednesday. You know where his surgery is? Mount Sinai. You know where his surgery is? It's at a place of transformation. Any prayer request that you submit at that table that I read on a Tuesday and otherwise, these are places of transformation. These are days of transformation. They're days when you're made new. And the best part about being a Christian is that you and I, we get to take it to the bank. I count on that. You know what's not worth it? Is having a cheap faith. It's just not. I'm kind of an all or nothing person anyways, but it's just not, because it's written. You know what the Gospel of John says? If we were to write all of the things that Jesus said and did, my favorite verse, there would not be enough bookshelves to hold all of the accounts. It's true. Won't you believe it? I know there are many people in here waiting for transformation. And I know it because I sit with you and I live with you and I pastor you and I officiate a wedding last night and I see transformation in this couple who could not look at anyone else but each other. And I read their vows and I watch them commit a covenant. Did you know that on Mount Sinai, it's the kickoff of the covenant making? These covenants, they mark our lives. And who here does not want to actually be in one? We do, and you're invited. Every single person is invited to one with God. It's up to you. Will you respond? Will you jump in? Will you join? There's goodness on the other side. And what I was thinking about at my desk after I realized, wow, this psalm is so much more about God being present everywhere. So much more than just Mount Sinai and Exodus 34. He's present everywhere. And then, you know what? The promise that is kept, it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. It is that good. It's the most real thing there is, and I want you to hear it. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And this is what I want you to hear. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. No longer the old Jerusalem swept away. A new Jerusalem with no gates and no boundaries, with no pain and no suffering. A new Jerusalem that is on not only the mountain regular Jerusalem is on, but it's on the highest mountain because it's the closest to God. It says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for the groom. And I heard a loud voice over here from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, and no more crying, and no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And then he who was seated on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. Everything is new. The new Jerusalem, the holy city which God has established. Won't you meet me there someday? It'll all be new. You'll be new, and I'll be new, and we'll be most importantly in the most real presence of the Lord there has ever been. And that is what you can count on. He says, then he said to me, write this down. Write it down, mortal, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said, he carried me away in the spirit, and I went to a mountain, great and high. And there God showed me the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and it shone. Where have we heard that? God's presence makes you radiant. The holy city comes down and it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. I looked and I did not see a temple in the city, because now the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God will give it its light. The Lamb has become its lamp. The nations will walk by that light, and the kings of the earth will bring their own splendor into it. On no day will its gates be ever shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it, and nothing impure shall ever enter it. This is the holy city. You want to know what it's like to follow Jesus, to follow God, to be in the presence of God? It's not always Mount Sinai in Exodus 34, and it's not yet for us the new Jerusalem. It's living in between them, and it's hoping and counting on both of them. It's using our memory as our medicine, knowing that God will do what God has said, and it's counting on the future and cashing it in and saying, this is the realest thing there is. And so, yes, Psalm 100, a great psalm of joy, a great song to sing. Enter his praise with thanksgiving, enter his courts with gladness, but most of all, the last line, what? And then the glory of the Lord shall be there forevermore. And he did say, forever. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, wow, that you are so good. Wow, that your presence shows up in the most special of ways, in the most unique and surprising circumstances, that you are a God of transformation. You promise it, and then you make it so, and then we live transformed. That's becoming a witness. That we might not hide our lamp under a bushel, but that we might let it shine so that everyone can see that you are at work, that you are up to something, God. And we, as your vessels, we commit to letting you be that lamp. The Lamb, you, God, you are the light. That holy city for which we await, you are its light. And you are the most trustworthy and true one that we know. Help us to have the courage and the faith and the steadfastness to follow you and to love you and, yes, to worship you every single day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.